The Port of Los Angeles will begin operating 24/7 as part of President Biden's plan to ease the pressure on the global supply chain. Ports around the world are congested, and container ships and truck drivers are in short supply, all leading to higher costs for consumers. The International Monetary Fund is warning that the ongoing bottleneck could threaten the world's economic recovery. Let's talk about this with Greg Ipp, chief economics commentator for the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Greg.
Hi, Scott.
Now, we have supply chain failures across the board in the world, as you know. Factories in Asia hit with COVID, not enough shipping containers in the right places. We need raw materials, we need drivers, we need semiconductors. The president now is focusing on the port of LA. But how much can that really unlock this big, big problem?
Well, at the margin, it'll help. I mean, there are many, many ships lined up waiting to unload and to reload at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. You know, weirdly enough, those two ports are among the most important in the world, but unlike most of the major ports around the world, they actually didn't stay open on weekends or at night. So what the president has arranged is for the Port of Los Angeles to operate 24/7. But ultimately, it's only going to raise the amount of traffic they can handle by a few percentage points. It's not a game changer. And I think there are many, many more facets to this supply shortage than just the number of containers that we can unload at American ports. There are so many things going across the board, whether it's semiconductors, whether it's natural gas, whether it's just a shortage of workers. There's very little the president can do in the short term.
Now, companies are also trying to kind of nudge this issue a little bit. Walmart, UPS, and FedEx are set to announce that they will work more off-peak hours. But earlier in the show, we talked about 4.3 million people quitting their jobs in August. Will these companies and delivery firms be able to find the workers they need?
Well, they're certainly struggling right now. If you look at the number of job vacancies and you compare that to the number of people who are unofficially who are officially unemployed, there's about 1.3 job openings for every unemployed person. That's a record for that ratio. It's actually marginally higher than at the peak of the economy before the pandemic. So there's a very severe shortage of labor here. And the reasons why are, they're a little bit of a puzzle. I don't think anybody knows if there's any single reason. We know that there are people who are worried, who are sick or who are worried about getting sick from COVID, people who have childcare issues, possibly the generosity of unemployment insurance until recently made it easier to stay home. I think the bigger factor, though, has just been huge displacement in the last year. A lot of people have changed jobs, moved to different places. They're not where they used to be. So when UPS or Target or whoever goes back to try and hire back the people that were furloughed a year ago, they're not there any longer. And to try and draw people back to work, they have no choice except to either raise wages or try and find a way to get along with fewer workers or some combination of the two. And in fact, you hear about businesses doing exactly that, learning to cope. Lots of restaurants, for example, who are shortening the number of hours that they're open or only doing takeout or closing on certain days of the week. Hotels that no longer clean your rooms every single day. Yeah. And lots of companies exploring what they can do with technology to make up for the workers that they can no longer find.
Now, you've been writing for years about the world economy and this kind of broader situation we had for many years, this quote, just-in-time machine, right? Everything comes together at, say, the Toyota plant at the right moment. It's very efficient. Costs are low. There's low inventory. And now so many are talking about pivoting to something new, a just-in-case economy with a lot more redundancies. Where are we on that? Is that just a talking point or is change happening?
You know, I would say that, you know, a year ago or even as recently as 4 or 5 months ago, most people and most businesses thought and expected that all these shortages were really just temporary, the kind of like the grinding noises from of an economy reopening. I think there's a greater recognition now that, in fact, perhaps something more lasting is going on. It's not just COVID, after all. I mean, for example, there's an energy transition going along. That's one of the reasons there's been less investment in fossil fuels, and that's therefore they're in short supply and the prices are high right now. And at the same time, we haven't quite figured out how to make renewables as reliable and always available on demand when we need them. In Britain, the wind stopped blowing, so they ran out of electricity, and they didn't have enough natural gas. And the other thing that's going on is, you know, like global governments are also much less inclined to make the wheels of international commerce go smoothly. President Trump started a trade war with China, raised tariffs, and President Biden seems to be quite content to continue that trade war. So I think we're going from a world where we assume that we had infinite variety instantly available to a world where we have to basically assume that that's not the case any longer. We're going to have to get used to the fact that it'll take longer to get stuff. We may have less variety available, and we may have to pay more for it.
And very quickly, Greg, real quick on semiconductors. We know there's a shortage of that, which is at the center of so many things. The president wants to kind of move forward on that. Congress is thinking about that. Anything realistic as far as semiconductors and more manufacturing in the U.S.?
Well, part of this is temporary. There's been a huge sort of like rearrangement of demand. So all these people working from home or going to school remotely, they had to buy a lot of computers. So there was a shift in demand from semiconductors. That we hope will be temporary. Yep. But and the Biden administration is working with industry to try and optimize supply chain so the most in-need customers get them first.
Okay.
But you're right. Over the long run, the Biden administration is also trying to incentivize more investment in semiconductor factories in the U.S., but it takes many years to build those factories.
All right. Greg Ipp, thank you. Chief Economics Commentator for The Wall Street Journal.